Sound good? Good afternoon. Thanks for coming to my session. My name's Neil Peterson. I'm a premier field engineer with Microsoft. And during this session, I'm going to be taking an introductory yet somewhat in-depth look at service management automation. In terms of an overview, I'm just going to go over SMA, what it is, talk about how it fits into the current landscape of on-premise cloud and traditional data center automation. I'm then going to quickly look at some architectural components, a couple notes on installation and administration of SMA. Then we'll dig a little bit deeper into kind of some of the core components of actually using service management automation to automate. So really looking at a couple fundamental pieces of automating with SMA. And then finally, I'll wrap up the session with somewhat of a fully integrated demo showing not only some automation with SMA, but automation across different systems. I've got a pretty packed session, so we'll see how it goes. So before I dig into service management automation itself, though, there's two pieces of technology that aren't necessarily SMA, however, play a large role in service managed automation that I just want to level set on. The first of these is PowerShell workflow. So at this point, I'm sure we're all very familiar with PowerShell and PowerShell scripts and the components that go into working with PowerShell scripts. But what is PowerShell workflow? So PowerShell workflow was introduced with PowerShell 3.0. It uses a common PowerShell syntax. However, the execution of the PowerShell is very different. I mean, there's some fundamental differences between classic PowerShell scripts and a PowerShell workflow. Workflows are basically crafting a payload that's handed off to a Windows Workflow Foundation for execution. So I'm not going to go too much into the internals of PowerShell workflows at this point. I just wanted to kind of set the vocabulary because I'm going to be talking about PowerShell workflows a lot throughout this session, and we'll talk about some of the features that PowerShell workflow has built into it that we're building on top of within service management automation. The second piece of technology that, while not SMA itself, plays a large role in SMA is the Windows Azure Pack. So if you're not familiar with the Windows Azure Pack, or WAP for short, it's basically a collection of on-premise Azure technologies. The key word there being on-premise. So the Windows Azure Pack provides a multi-tenant, self-service cloud experience or cloud-like experience from hosted from within your own data center. So it's fully hosted from within your data center. And if you look at this screenshot here, you can almost squint and think you're looking at Windows Azure itself, when in reality, this is a screenshot of Windows Azure Pack installation that's installed on my own lab environment. Within the Windows Azure Pack, we've got two portals, an admin portal and a tenant portal. The admin portal where we administer the system, bundle the services up into subscriptions and make them available to tenants. And then in the tenant portal, we consume these subscriptions of Azure technologies. So again, not SMA itself, however, plays a large role, and we'll be talking about the Windows Azure Pack a lot throughout this session as well. So that brings us to SMA, or service management automation. So what is service management automation itself? In a nutshell, SMA is a process automation tool built on a foundation of PowerShell workflows that has this native tight integration into the Windows Azure Pack. So that's a pretty fancy statement. What exactly does that mean? And let's dig a little bit deeper into kind of the nuts and bolts of what service management automation is. So SMA is a component of the System Center Orchestrator product. So technically, SMA is a part of the System Center Orchestrator product. If you want to install service management automation, you can find the installation files on the System Center Orchestrator media. And there's a lot, SMA and Orchestrator have a lot in common. They perform a lot of the same functions in terms of they're both automation tools. Within service management automation, a unit of automation or a piece of automation that we build is called a runbook, just like in System Center Orchestrator. These runbooks in SMA are built using PowerShell workflow. So when we're crafting or authoring our runbooks within SMA, we are authoring in PowerShell or PowerShell workflows. And we'll see all of this in my demonstrations. So you know, working with PowerShell within SMA brings a lot of capabilities. I mean, we've got this very flexible platform on which to automate, on which we've been automating for years and years at this point. So you know, lots we can do with PowerShell, and an extremely powerful foundation for automation. Additionally, we've got this huge library of PowerShell modules. So with SMA now, we can take advantage of these PowerShell modules and integrate with a huge array of different systems. But it doesn't stop at PowerShell. SMA itself has a bunch of capabilities that layer on top of these PowerShell workflows, making it an extremely powerful system coupled together. Some of these are assets. So within SMA, we've got a concept of assets. I'm going to dig into those on its own slide. Brings a lot of power to the tool, as well as we've got infrastructure within SMA. So we've got PowerShell workflows. Now we've got them hosted on infrastructure that can be highly available and scalable. We've got a real powerful combination here in terms of automation. I discussed Windows Azure Pack kind of all up what WAAP is, but I want to dig more into, you know, the integration between SMA and WAAP. What exactly is the story there? So first off, the Windows Azure Pack provides a graphical user interface in which to administer and even author SMA, the SMA system and SMA runbooks. So WAAP's not a necessary component. I mean, we can run SMA without WAAP. We can do everything, pretty much everything we want to do in SMA without WAAP. However, SMA itself doesn't have a console, if you will. It does have a PowerShell module that's fully featured and allows us to, gives us a really rich administration and authoring experience, and I'll show that. But if we want that graphical user interface or that console to manage and author within SMA, the Windows Azure Pack and the integration between SMA and the Windows Azure Pack gives us that experience. But it doesn't stop there. Once SMA and the Windows Azure Pack is integrated, we've got this other layer of capability, and that's this native connection between SMA runbooks and WAAP activities. So for instance, if a tenant logs into the Windows Azure Pack tenant portal and creates a virtual machine, we can tie the creation of a virtual machine up to an SMA runbook so that we're automatically triggering these SMA runbooks every time a virtual machine is created to perform post-VM deployment configuration and automation-y type things. So we've got this native integration between things that are going on in the Windows Azure Pack and the ability to tie those things to the executions of runbooks. I already mentioned WAAP is not necessarily necessary in order for SMA to function, and I'm really going to show you kind of the experience from both perspectives, Windows Azure Pack, or working within SMA just using the PowerShell module. But I mean, I would imagine in most cases having that graphical user interface, and really, you know, if you're using WAAP, I mean, SMA becomes a first-class citizen in terms of automating with WAAP. So I would imagine in most instances, it makes a lot of sense to integrate the two. I just want to, you know, make a point that they don't necessarily have to be. And then final note here is that there's no administration capability from the WAAP tenant portal. So I talked about the administration experience in Windows Azure Pack and the tenant experience. Automation is not a service that is provided to the tenants within Windows Azure Pack to create their own automation. So it's not a service provided within WAAP. Now, the tenants are inadvertently taking advantage of automation. Going back to the example, if I'm a tenant and I create a runbook, or I create a virtual machine, it's going to kick off a runbook. So I have access to the benefit of SMA, but the tenants are not themselves creating automation or using the SMA product as the service within the tenant side of the WAAP. So we've talked a little bit about what SMA is. We've talked about the integration between SMA and the Windows Azure Pack. Just a couple more notes on administration, authoring, and the execution experience within SMA. So there's two places, I pretty much already mentioned this, two places we can administer and author SMA runbooks in, and that's the WAP portal, or just using the PowerShell ISE or the PowerShell module. We could potentially even use any text editor at that point. What we'll see when we look at the Windows Azure Pack or SMA is that we don't have this folder structure for organizing our runbooks. Rather, in SMA, we put tags on runbooks. And I'm going to show you this experience and really highlight it, because when I first saw it, I was like, wow, there's no folders here. And the more I work with organizing my runbooks with tags, I'm really, you know, starting to understand the benefit there. And there's a lot we can do with the tagging system, and it's pretty awesome. So I wanted to call that out in a bullet point. I'll definitely highlight that in my demonstration. When we're creating runbooks within Service Management Automation, our runbooks can be in one of a couple different states. The first is a draft mode, where we just have a draft copy in SMA. The second one is a published mode, where we just have a published copy. It's ready for consumption. It can be executed. It's checked in and ready to go. We've also got this in edit mode within SMA, where we have both a published copy of the runbook and a draft copy of the runbook. And this is pretty cool. We can actually edit runbooks, make changes to our runbooks, and test these changes without taking the published version out of production, if you will. So a pretty neat experience. We've got several different flexible execution methods within SMA, and really what I mean here is that, you know, we're not limited to starting runbooks via the Windows Azure Pack or the integration between the Windows Azure Pack and SMA runbooks. We've got a PowerShell module that we can start runbooks. SMA also includes a web service, so we could potentially craft custom consoles or integrate with systems like SharePoint. I mean, it's a very flexible platform on which to use, much like System Center Orchestrator itself is. And then finally, just one note, really just a vocabulary at this point. Once we execute a runbook within SMA, a job is created, or a job is an instance of an executed runbook. I wanted to bring that up because I'm going to talk about jobs quite a bit as well. Real quick on architecture, I'm not going to spend too much time here, and I'm going to jump into a demonstration. There's basically three components of service management automation that we install. Indirectly, we'll end up with four components. The first of these is the PowerShell module. And again, these components can be found on the System Center Orchestrator Media. Second component is the web service. And this is really kind of the center of SMA. There's a lot going on in this web service, even beyond just accepting requests, authenticating users, and a couple other things. In addition, when we install the web service, we're prompted to create the SMA database. And then finally, the fourth component, or the third component that you might install, is the runbook workers. And this is where the SMA runbooks actually execute, very similar to a runbook server in System Center Orchestrator. In terms of communication, requests are made via the PowerShell module, or this could just as easily be the Windows Azure Pack here, or any other tool that's integrating or posting an HTTP request to the web service. But requests are made from whatever tool through the web service. Let's say this is a request to start a runbook. The web service brokers that job, places that job in the SMA database. Let's say the request is to retrieve some information about a previous job. That data is pulled from the database through the web service and returned to the calling application. And then finally, we have our runbook workers hanging out on the side, waiting for jobs to be, or requests to execute runbooks to be entered into the database. They'll pick those up and actually execute the runbooks. As well, we'll talk about persisting state. Our runbook workers will also put some information about the current state of a runbook back in the database if we're using the state persistence functionality. So a little bit about the architecture of SMA. In terms of installation, there's the TechNet documentation's pretty good, pretty standard stuff at this point, but there are a couple things that we need to do in potentially a specific order. First thing we're going to want to do is deploy all the SMA components, so get our SMA environment up and running. At that point, we may want multiple runbook workers. Having multiple runbook workers will not only give us high availability on that runbook worker piece, but also increases our throughput or the amount of runbooks that we can run at one time. At that point, SMA is ready to go. If we want to integrate with the Windows Azure Pack, we'll need to deploy WAAP if it's not already deployed. If it is, we're good to go. And then finally, we just need to configure up the integration between SMA and the Windows Azure Pack, which I'm going to do right now in this first demo. So first demo, I'm going to do a couple things. First thing I'm going to do is configure that integration between SMA and the Windows Azure Pack. I'll then do a quick tour of the administration and authoring experience within the Windows Azure Pack. And then I'm going to show almost the same experience, but from the PowerShell module. So what we're looking at here is an instance of the Windows Azure Pack. I've got nothing configured up in this environment at this point. Again, looks very similar to Windows Azure itself. And there's a couple different places that SMA manifests itself within the Windows Azure Pack. The first is this module right here, automation. So this is kind of where we're going to do the core administration and authoring from within the Windows Azure Pack. In order to configure this up, once WAAP is installed, you can see I kind of have a zero right here and not a lot going on in here. I need to register the SMA automation endpoint with the Windows Azure Pack, which I'll do right now. And we can see rather quickly that it was successful. And in fact, if I refresh this page now, we'll see that under automation, instead of a zero, we've got an eight. So I've already got eight runbooks in this environment. I'll come back to here. The second place that SMA shows up within the Windows Azure Pack is under this VM Clouds piece. And we've got an automation tab here. And this is where we create that association between a WAAP action and an SMA runbook. However, look at it right now, even though we've integrated the two, it's still telling me that I must register SMA automation, or service management automation, rather. So there's kind of two places that we have to configure this piece. And if we click on this cloud right here, we've got another link, use an existing endpoint to link actions to service management automation runbooks. If I highlight this, all I have to do is click it, click the checkbox, and now if I click on automation, we're ready to link WAAP activities to runbooks. So I can do something like select virtual machine, VMM virtual machine, create, and then select a runbook rename server. There's a couple other pieces that have to be in place for this tying of runbooks to WAAP activities to function, such as the SMA certificate needs to be trusted by the SPF function as well. The SPF app pool ID needs to be in the SMA admin group on the web service. But I'm not going to go into that during this session. Next thing I'm going to do is kind of give a demonstration or just walk through the administration and authoring experience within the console. So clicking on automation here, we're on the automation dashboard. And you can see we've got a lot going on here. We've got some metrics about runbook execution history in this environment. Right now we're looking over the last 30 days. I can actually limit this down to 7 days if I wanted to. As well, if I wanted to see metrics on only those that have completed, I can uncheck some of these other states and kind of get a good, you know, quick visual feeling for what's been going on in the environment. Down here at the bottom, we've got this jobs list. This is where I can see some recent jobs that have executed in my environment. And you can see here that this list is affected by this filtering capability as well. So you can see that's beginning to grow. There's some other data on here in this quick glance screen, but that's the automation dashboard. The next thing I'm gonna do is jump into this runbooks dashboard. And here's where we see all of our runbooks and where we administer and manage our runbooks. Now, one note here, when you install SMA, it comes pre-bundled with a bunch of sample runbooks, and there's a bunch of good information in these sample runbooks. samples of integrating with other systems and some of the core functionality of SMA. I have removed those from this environment. So when installing SMA, you'll have a bunch more runbooks in your environment at installation time. From the runbooks dashboard, we can do some filtering using this form right here. We can also sort our runbooks by any of these columns, and then we can do some searching. So I've got a little search button here, and we can search on things such as tags. So when you have a bunch of runbooks in this environment, this list will grow, and it will actually start to page. So you'll get multiple pages of runbooks, and it looks pretty daunting at first, but then getting into sorting, we can do things like sort on a specific tag and then see every runbook with that specific tag. We can also, our runbooks can have more than one tag. And this is actually, this opens up a lot of possibilities here. So if I have, you know, one small runbook that takes part in several larger automation solutions, I can put multiple tags on this runbook. And then when I search on one solution, that runbook's going to be included in that tag. And if you think about it, you're not going to have that same experience if you're organizing runbooks in folders. It's kind of difficult to organize when you've got modular runbooks that take part in different systems. We can even extend on what we do with these tags. We can do things like programmatically gather information about every runbook with a specific tag, or even using PowerShell, import or export every runbook that has a specific tag into one kind of big export job. So pretty powerful, something I've been enjoying working with a lot within SMA. I'm going to go ahead and start my creating a runbook. I'm just going to do something simple to start with. We'll get into some more practical examples, but just more or less a Hello World runbook just to show the authoring experience during each stage of it. I'm not actually going to do Hello World, though. I'm just going to retrieve some data from Active Directory. So to create a new runbook, we've got a little new button right here. I'll click on New, Runbooks, and Quick Create. I'll give my runbook a name. And I'll give it a tag of Demo. And I'll click Create. And I'll just go ahead and refresh my screen here. And here's my new runbook, Hello World. We can see that it's in a new authoring state and that I've got a tag of demo. I'm going to go ahead and drill into the runbook. And now I'm on what I just like to refer to as the runbook-specific dashboard. So this is a dashboard specific to the Hello World runbook. And you can see we've got a lot of the same type of metrics. So I can, you know, get a quick visual a queue of what's been going on with this specific runbook from this page. Now, obviously, this is a brand new runbook, so I've got no historical data here. Couple other things we can do from this dashboard. We can click on the Configure tab. I could give the runbook a description if I wanted to. I could also give it an additional tag. And I can turn on some logging here. Now, I'm not going to go into logging in any depth in this session. However, it's something worth, you know, reading into. There's a lot going on with logging and data streams. At the very end of the PowerPoint deck, I have included some links to additional information. And one of those links is a great blog by the Orchestrator Product Group on data streams and logging, which I would encourage digging into. At this point, I'm going to click on my authoring tab. And this is where we actually build our runbooks from within the Windows Azure pack. Administrator portal. So on the authoring tab, you can see I've got a published, like a sub tab, if you will, a published tab and a draft tab. Right now I've got nothing in the published tab. I'm going to click on my draft tab. And you can see here that SMA has kind of started to build my workflow for me. So when we create a PowerShell workflow, the first thing we're going to do is put in the keyword workflow, much like a PowerShell function, and then give that workflow a name. In this case, it chose Hello World because that's the name I gave the runbook. And you can see that I've got my script block right here. So a PowerShell workflow is the keyword workflow, the name for the workflow, a script block, and then all of our PowerShell is going to go within the script block. So I'm just going to put some spaces in here, and I'm just going to paste in my PowerShell. I don't want to risk mistyping anything during the demo. So what I'm doing is I'm just gathering some information from Active Directory. So I'm getting all users in a specific Active Directory OU and outputting this to the output data stream. And production, I probably wouldn't do this. I would need credentials in here, and I probably would not output anything to the output stream, but it works well for a demonstration. And that's it. That is my runbook right there. Just a simple runbook, gather users from Active Directory, put them on the output stream. Not very practical, although it could be. You know, this could be a little modular runbook that you gather users and then go down the line and do things to these users. At this point, I could test this runbook from the Windows Azure pack. I could click this test button. It actually runs the runbook, but it runs it in a way that I get some, you know, immediate feedback whether I've done something wrong within my PowerShell or not. However, I'm just going to go ahead and publish this. Once I click the publish button, you can see that I no longer have a draft copy. However, I have a published copy. And at this point, I'm just going to go ahead and run it. I've got a start button right here. I'll click start. And then I've also got another button here that will take me immediately to the current job. And we can see some information here. So I can see that the status is queued. I can see who started the runbook, the start time, and the last update time. As well, this page doesn't need to be refreshed. You can see it just flipped to starting. So it auto-refreshes itself. There's no need to take care of that on your own. And you can see it's completed, and I've output a list of users that are located within that Active Directory OU. So pretty simple example. No worries. Next demonstration, I'm going to dig into something a little more practical. However, before doing that, I wanted to kind of show just a quick demonstration of using, you know, the PowerShell ISC and the SMA PowerShell module to do a lot of the same things I just did, because there's a lot of capability there. So what I have here is just a PowerShell ISC, and I've got the same workflow built out inside the PowerShell ISC. I'm actually going to execute it here just to test my workflow. So this has nothing to do with SMA. At this point, I'm just testing a PowerShell workflow locally on this Windows 8.1 client. I'm going to load it up into the PowerShell session and then kick it off just by typing in the name of the workflow, which in this case is get user. And we can see it's executed and produced the same list that we saw back in the Windows Azure pack. So this workflow is ready to go. I'm ready to, you know, use this thing with this, within SMA. I've authored it. Looks good. Next step. On this Windows 8.1 client here, I do have the SMA PowerShell module loaded up. And again, this can be found on the System Center Orchestrator Media. For the most part, most of the SMA commandlets are going to require the location of the SMA web service. So the first thing I'm going to do is just put the location of that web service in a variable so I don't have to go retype it every time I want to run a SMA commandlet. And the first thing I want to do here is just I want to echo back every runbook in the SMA environment. You know, before I start working in this thing or create new runbooks, I want to see what I've got loaded already. So I've run this commandlet get SMA runbook, and I won't go into all the details of these commandlets. They're very straightforward. And it's returned all the runbooks that are currently in my SMA environment, including this Hello World runbook that we just created. So the next thing I want to do is import my new runbook, or import my PowerShell workflow into SMA. So I just created that Hello World PowerShell workflow, or that get user workflow, and I saved it down to disk at this location right here. So I'm going to use this import SMA runbook commandlet to import that runbook into the SMA environment. And notice that I'm also taking the output of the import SMA commandlet and putting that into a variable. That's just an object with properties about that specific runbook that I can use for doing things like starting that runbook during this demonstration. Next thing I want to do is just take a look at that runbook. So this particular get user runbook, I just want to inspect that at this point. So I'm going to run this get SMA runbook commandlet, giving it the ID of the runbook that we just created. And yep, there it is, and we can see it's in there, and it's got a runbook name of get user. Also notice right here it's got a draft version ID, but no published runbook version ID. So when I imported that runbook, it's in draft mode right now. So I don't have a published runbook. It's not ready for execution. So I've got this published SMA runbook commandlet. I'll run that. And you know what? I'll just run this git SMA runbook commandlet again just to get some more information about that runbook. And now we can see the draft version ID is gone, and I have a published version ID. So it's ready to go. I mean, this runbook has been tested and imported into the SMA system. I'm ready to kick it off. So I'm going to use this start SMA commandlet to start the runbook, and I'm going to take the output of the start SMA commandlet and put it into a variable job. This commandlet will output the job ID that's created when we start this runbook. Now I'm going to get some information about that job. I can see right here that job status is activating. So that runbook hasn't executed yet. It's still in the process of firing itself up. Rerun this. It's still activating. And there we go, it's completed. But notice there was no data returned to me. That output stream data wasn't presented back to the PowerShell ISC that I'm working in. However, I can use this git SMA job output commandlet to gather that data. And there's my list of users. It looks a little different, but they're all there. And then finally, I'm done with this demonstration, so I'm going to go ahead and remove that runbook using the remove SMA runbook commandlet. And then finally, if I rerun this git SMA runbook commandlet, git user is gone. So that is the first demonstration. I'm going to jump back into some slides. I've got a couple more, then we'll dig into some more practical and a little more advanced demonstrations around runbook authoring and execution. So in terms of automation, so we've talked about what SMA is, automation tool. We've talked about some of its integrations with other technologies. Now let's talk about kind of some core concepts that are used quite often when authoring SMA runbooks. First thing I want to talk about is assets. I mentioned these earlier kind of as a core component of service management automation. What an asset is a collection of globally available settings that can be used by any runbook. And we've got four different types of assets. We've got a connection asset. So what a connection asset holds is the information that I need to run a runbook against an external system or integrate with external systems. I've actually got a screenshot here of a configuration manager asset, so a System Center Configuration Manager connection asset. One thing I want to call out is it's not just a placeholder for a username, password, and server name. There's actually information in these assets specific to the system I'm going to be integrating with. In this case, it's the CM site code. If this was a Windows Azure asset or a Windows Azure connection asset, I might have something like a place for a certificate. So these assets are crafted specifically for the systems that we're going to be integrating with. And there's a good collection of them that come with SMA. Second type of asset is a variable. Variable is just a placeholder for one of several different types of data that I can use across all my runbooks. So for instance, if I had a OU that I wanted to reference in many different places, rather than hard coding that OU in my runbook, I would just reference it using a variable, just like within System Center Orchestrator. Third type of asset is a credential, holds two types of credentials. PS credentials, where I'm going to provide it a username and password, or a certificate. And this is insanely powerful. I mean, I can now kind of embed credentials within PowerShell or PowerShell workflows without actually putting my credentials in my PowerShell. So if you think about taking a PowerShell script and layering it down or just hosting it on a file share, I mean, it'd be crazy to put credentials in that thing because they're exposed and, anybody that could open up that file could gather those credentials. Well, SMA is allowing us to store these credentials in a credential asset in a very secure way and reference those from within our runbooks using them in the execution of our runbook. And we'll see this. We'll see a sample of this. And then the final one is schedule. So I can create a schedule on which a runbook is going to execute and assign that to a runbook. So that's assets. Next thing I wanted to talk about was checkpoint and suspend. So I briefly mentioned this on the slide about architecture, talking about the runbook workers placing state data back in the database. So within PowerShell workflow and then SMA, we have the ability to checkpoint our runbooks or save state. So an example might be if I'm doing something like creating a user, and the first thing I do is create the user, second thing I do is move that user to an OU, third thing I do is add the user to a security group. Well, if I'm running through this execution and the user is created, and then there's an interruption, for whatever reason my runbook restarts, rather than restarting at the beginning, I have the ability to place a checkpoint in between those actions, and I'll restart at the place of my last checkpoint. So our runbooks now become stateful. You know, I don't have to build in logic to ensure that, you know, if nine of these actions have occurred and I've restarted, don't redo these. I don't want to recreate that user. I mean, the process would fail. The user already exists. But I do want to move that user. I do want to make sure that user gets into a particular security group. So using checkpointing allows us to really bring some state management or managing the state of a runbook execution to our SMA runbooks. There's many different ways to do this. I'm not going to go through all of these. I'm not going to talk through all of these. The one I'll be using here is checkpoint workflow. So just putting a checkpoint workflow activity or commandlet in your runbook will checkpoint that runbook. The second thing we can do is suspend our runbooks. So we can actually pause the execution of a runbook and then resume it. So we could theoretically write an automation solution that does a bunch of stuff and then pauses, allows somebody to review, you know, the execution up to a certain point, and then resume that. And there's potentially some other, you know, practical uses for suspending the execution of a runbook. So two pretty cool things, and they go hand in hand in some circumstances, but checkpointing and suspending runbooks. And I'll be showing an example of suspend runbook as well using this first suspend-workflow commandlet or activity. So, you know, it's a better practice when thinking about automating large processes. And if you've been to any System Center Orchestrator session, I'm sure you've heard this argument that it's a better practice, you know, rather than having one big, huge runbook or whatever automation tool you're using, rather than having this big, huge, single piece of automation that performs a huge, big, complex process, to rather break that up, break that automation process up into individual smaller runbooks in this case. So have multiple runbooks that can then be called in sequence to perform a larger automation. This brings a lot of benefit in terms of it's frankly easier to troubleshoot, easier to read, just easier to manage. Additionally, breaking that automation up into smaller pieces create some modularity. So if I've got, you know, this big process, and in that process I want to put a machine in operations manager maintenance mode, well, putting that code or that activity or that piece of automation inside of a bunch of automation kind of encapsulates it in there. But if I put that in its own runbook, I can then reference that runbook whenever I want. I now have a function within my automation framework that puts a machine into maintenance mode, and I can call that function whenever I want to use it. So, you know, definitely a better practice, in my opinion, to work that way. In doing so, though, we have the need to nest our runbooks. And what I mean by nesting runbooks is in that configuration, we'll have a parent runbook that kind of orchestrates all the child runbooks, if you will. So I've got a parent runbook that's going to call the first runbook I need to execute. And once that's finished, call the second one. And then maybe I have three that need to run in parallel. But bottom line is I'm going to have this parent-child relationship. Because of that, I have a need to nest runbooks. Within SMA, we've got two different ways to call a second runbook. You know, so nesting a runbook or calling that second runbook. The first is what we call invoking inline or starting a runbook inline. And this is done just by within my parent runbook, which in this case is a PowerShell workflow, referencing the name of the child runbook that I want to call, and then passing it the parameters that I need to pass to that runbook in order for it to function. The when invoking a runbook in line, it's got some execution behavior. So if I've got a parent runbook and five child runbooks, so I'm calling five child runbooks from my parent runbook, what happens when I trigger that parent runbook is all of my runbooks are actually bundled up into one job, and one job is executed. So when invoking a runbook in line, when I invoke that parent runbook, I'm going to be left with one job. And all of the output from all of my child runbooks are rolled up into that job. So in my example of having a parent and five child runbooks, once I execute that parent within the WAP console or using the PowerShell module, attached to that parent runbook is going to be the job history, one job that has all the output data or all the information about the execution of all the runbooks involved in that automation. So invoking inline, we roll everything up into one job. Also, we've got a synchronous execution. So first runbook runs and completes, second runbook runs and completes, and so on. The second way to nest runbooks within SMA is to use the start SMA runbook commandlet. So I used this already in my first demo. So because our SMA runbooks are built on a foundation of PowerShell, basically, we can also use the SMA PowerShell module within our runbooks. And we can use the start SMA runbook commandlet to start runbooks. It's a very different experience, though, than invoking these runbooks in line. So same example, I've got a parent runbook and five child runbooks, so six runbooks in total. If I use the start SMA runbook to execute those child runbooks, I will end up with six different jobs or a job attached to each one of those runbooks. So fundamentally, they execute runbooks in a very different manner. In addition, start SMA runbooks will asynchronously execute your runbooks, so almost in kind of a rapid fire type of mode. So that's nesting runbooks. Last thing I want to talk about before jumping into some demos is inline script. So I mentioned earlier that PowerShell workflows, there's some differences between a PowerShell workflow and a traditional PowerShell script. Because of such, we lose a little bit. We do not have all of the functionality within a PowerShell workflow that we have in a PowerShell script. Some commands just don't work. So we may have a piece of PowerShell laying somewhere that we want to put in a workflow, and when we plop it in that workflow, it just doesn't function correctly. Not to worry, though, we can encapsulate these in what's called an inline script and run our PowerShell directly inside of an SMA runbook, or PowerShell workflow for that matter. So what happens when we use an inline script is our workflow executes, and then we actually create a PowerShell session which executes that PowerShell that's encapsulated in the inline script. It then returns the data. So if we have any data coming out of that, we can return it to the workflow. A couple workflow-specific items aren't valid or don't work within inside an inline script, such as checkpointing and suspending a runbook. So I can't checkpoint a runbook inside of an inline script. I can checkpoint a runbook right before an inline script and right after an inline script, but I can't do it inside the script block. As well, variables that are defined outside of the inline script or inside of the workflow itself aren't natively visible inside of the inline script. However, I found it to be a non-issue. We've got this scope modifier called using, and you can kind of see this example here. So if I had a variable named computer name that was defined in the workflow and I wanted to use it inside my inline script, I would just end up with $, you know, using computer name, using that modifier to expose that variable to the inline script. So I haven't really run into any issues here. So I'm going to jump into a little bit more. I put advanced runbook creation here, but it's actually a pretty simple series of runbooks. However, showing off a lot of these kind of core components that I just talked about. So let me get this set up real quick. So in this case, I'm doing my authoring. So I've actually authored these PowerShell workflows inside of a PowerShell ISE. honestly, the authoring experience inside the Windows Azure Pack is actually pretty good. I mean, it's not just a text editor. I should have highlighted this when I was touring the Windows Azure Pack. It's a pretty good experience. It's got IntelliSense and color coding, and I mean, it's a really good experience. I just choose to do my authoring inside of the ISC. It's something that I'm familiar with and comfortable with, and it's portable, and it's an experience I like. But both environments work great for authoring runbooks. In this scenario, this series of runbooks, what I'm doing is I'm creating a user in Active Directory. So it's going to take in some information, create the user. Next thing I want to do is populate a security group. So add that user to an AD security group, move the user to an organizational unit, and then once this whole process is done, I want to send the user's manager an email stating, hey, user account is ready to go. Here's some information about that account. So I'm going to do that using several different runbooks. So I have a runbook for each one of those pieces. This first runbook here, create user underscore main, is my parent runbook. You can see here that I've used the PowerShell, the keyword workflow to indicate that we've got a PowerShell workflow here. And then I've given the workflow a name of create user main. And then my script block opens up. And then down at the bottom, I've got the closing part of the script block. First thing I have within this workflow, or soon-to-be runbook, is a parameter block. So I'm taking parameters into this runbook. So this is information that when this parent runbook is executed, once we're in SMA, this is information that I need somebody or some system to provide to me. In this case, I've got just the bare minimum for this demonstration, but I need a username, a first name, a last name, and then the manager's alias, because ultimately I want to send an email address, so I need to know information about that manager. So simple param block, bringing in some information once my parent runbook is executed. The next thing I'm doing inside of this runbook is gathering some information from the SMA database. So I talked about SMA assets. In this case, these assets are information I need to run this process, but that I don't want a human or that I don't need to pull from another system. Things such as the target OU. So I've got this big string for an OU. I don't want somebody to have to type that in. So I'm going to store it within an asset in SMA and then retrieve it at runtime. If that OU ever changes, I don't have to go through all my runbooks and change a hard-coded OU. I'll just go change the asset, and it's picked up when the runbooks next execute. So I've got a couple different types of assets that I'm gathering here, actually two. The first thing I'm getting is some credentials. So I'm creating a user in Active Directory. I need to give this process a security context under which to create that user. So I need to get some credentials by which to create the user. To do that, I'm using a commandlet or activity, get automation PS credential. And then within SMA, I've got an asset named AD cred. So this piece is going to pull those credentials out of the where they're stored in SMA, placing them into this variable. Next thing I'm getting, the rest of them are variables, so I'm using get automation variable. I'm getting an SMTP server, a target OU where I want to move the user, a security group that I want to put the user in, and then an email address. When I send that email to the manager, I need to have a from email address, so I'm just gathering that from email address from a variable within SMA. Now, something weird's going on here, though. Right now, I'm working in an ISE environment on a Windows 8 client, you know, and I'm referencing data that's in the SMA database. However, at no point in here, in this runbook or in this PowerShell workflow at this point, have I referenced the location of SMA or the SMA database. So how exactly is this working? I'm not going to go into the internals or too deep into this, but just make note that the Orchestrator product group has released a second module, PowerShell module, called Emulated Automation Activities. And what it allows me to do is locally kind of emulate the experience as if this PowerShell workflow is executing inside of the SMA environment. So it allows me to pull these assets while working on my local system. That's how this process is working right here. So I've also put a link to a great blog and information about this module at the end of this slide deck. So at this point, I've declared a workflow, given it a name, taken in some parameters, and then gathered some information about the gathered some assets from SMA to use throughout the execution of these runbooks. I'm ready to go at this point. I'm ready to start, automating here. So the first thing I'm going to do is call my first child runbook, which creates a user. So I'm calling this inline. So notice I'm not using the start SMA runbook commandlet here. I've just placed in the name of the runbook, providing to it all the parameter data for all the parameters that are defined within that runbook. So the runbook's name is create user. I'll take a look at that right now. Here's my runbook. Here you can see the five parameters that I have specified. So username, first name, last name, manager, and AD credential. So rather than gathering those assets on each one of these runbooks, I'm gathering it up front once in the parent runbook, and then just passing the assets and variables as parameterized data to all my child runbooks. First thing I want to do in the create user function or module or child runbook or workflow in this case is I want to generate some random text and set that user's temporary password to some random text. I had this PowerShell script laying around, for years, just in my repository of scripts that generates random text. I went and grabbed that, like, oh, that's what I need, and I plopped it into a PowerShell workflow, and it didn't work. Didn't work correctly. So no worries, we've got the inline script. So here is the script to generate random text, and you can see here I'm using the keyword of inline script and then wrapping this whole thing in a script block. I'm then taking the output of my inline script, storing it in this workflow password of new password. I now have that randomized text in my workflow in a variable that I can then use inside of that workflow. And then I'm just creating the user in Active Directory, and really I've just got a very simple, standard Active Directory PowerShell commands here. So at this point, my user's been created. Back on my parent runbook, I could move on, but you know what? This is a great time to go ahead and checkpoint this workflow. So I've got the user created. I want to kind of save state at this point. So I'm throwing in a checkpoint workflow. One note on that, hey, can I get through this and talk to you afterwards? Appreciate it. I got a lot of stuff to get through, but I'll definitely grab you afterwards. One note on checkpointing workflows is there is some performance hit here. I mean, we want to be judicious and put these checkpointing workflows in kind of the logical places that they need to be and not just smattering them everywhere just because we can. So I've got a user created. I've checkpointed my workflow. Next thing I'm going to do is go ahead and I need to get some information about the user so that I can start doing things with the user. So I've got another small runbook that just gets the user from Active Directory. So I've created the user. I just need to get the distinguished name of that user loaded up so that I can start to make some modifications to that account. Simple runbook, get user, two parameters come in, and really I just have one line of script here. Get AD user, putting that into a variable and echoing that to the output stream. Once I've got the distinguished name of my user, you can see over here I'm placing that in a variable. So the output of my runbook, get user, is the user's distinguished name. Slap that into a variable, user DN. I now have the distinguished name. I can use it throughout the whole solution. Next thing I want to do is add the user to a security group. Calling another runbook, populate security group. One line of code, couple parameters, pretty simple. Add AD group member. I'm then going to move a user to an OU, and I'm going to stop going through all of these at this point because they're all very simple. I mean, I've pretty much just got a bunch of one-liners here strung together in a modular fashion. So I'm going to move the user to an OU. I then need to get the manager's email address. So I've got a runbook that just gets the manager's email address, puts it onto the output stream so that I can slap it in a variable and use it later. And then notice here, right inside of my parent runbook, so I'm calling child runbooks, but I also have a small piece of PowerShell here. And really all I'm doing is formatting some text. I'm creating the subject and the body for the email that I want to send to the manager, but a lot of flexibility here. So I'm calling runbooks, then it's like, oh wait, I'm going to do some PowerShell now. And got code in. And then I'm going to call another runbook, send email. Again, simple process, one-liner. At this point, the manager gets an email, and the user's created, and we're ready to go. So I've done all this authoring in the PowerShell ISC. Using the emulated automation activities, you know, I feel pretty comfortable that this environment's going to match the environment within service management automation once I execute there. So at this point, I could... Oh, one other note, I then have all of these saved down to disk. And if you'll notice, these workflows just have a PS1 file extension, so just like a PowerShell script. At this point, I could come into my SMA environment, or my Windows Azure Pack environment, if you will, click on my Runbooks dashboard, and begin to import these one by one. However, we also have the PowerShell module, and I'll use that. So I just kind of got a sloppy script that I just threw together really quick that's going to loop through a folder, gather all of those runbooks, and then bulk import all of them into the SMA environment. And I'll do that now. So again, these PS1 files are just PowerShell workflows at this point. They're all saved to disk. I'll go ahead and execute this script. At this point, my runbooks have been imported into the SMA environment. We can see I have a 9 right here under automation. Go ahead and refresh the WAP environment. And you can see that's been incremented to 16. If I click on the automation module and runbooks, so my list is growing, however, no fret, I can actually search on the tag. And now I'm presented with just those runbooks that I just imported. Based on filtering on the tag, you can see they're all in a published state, so not only did I import them, I went ahead and published them, and they're pretty much ready to go. Before executing this, I wanted to just show you the asset screen. So we've got the assets tab. I didn't show this in the first demonstration, but creating these assets just involves navigating this asset tab, add setting, and then we can add our connection, credential, variable, or schedule right from here. As well, we've got PowerShell modules to do this. So at this point, I'm going to go ahead and demonstrate the execution of the runbooks that we just created, or the runbook solution. So create user main. I'm going to go ahead and click start. And notice that I'm being prompted for the 4 parameters that were defined in the parent runbook. So first name, I'll do last name, I'll do demo. Manager's name, I'll do myself. And a username of TE2014Demo. I'll go ahead and click go. We can see that we've got a button for view job. And again, because I've called all of those runbooks in line, so really, you know, throughout this process, we're going to execute several of these runbooks. We've got one single job where I can kind of view or get details about the execution of all of those. So I don't have to go, you know, if something breaks, I don't have to go hunt through all of those runbooks and find the point at which it broke. I've got one single job for the execution of the whole solution, if you will. So we can see that it's starting. While this starts, it does take a couple minutes. I'll go ahead and So my user was TE2014Demo, and there's my user, and we can see that my runbook's been completed. as well any moment. I should be getting an email. And there's my email. And so we can see some details about the execution of the job. So given name, family name, username, and here's that temporary password that I generated using that PowerShell script encapsulated inside the inline script piece. Pretty cool. All right. So I'm going to jump back to the slide. I really just have one slide here, and I really just want to kind of set up my last demonstration. So for the last demonstration, I'm going to do something that, you know, fully integrated with the Windows Azure pack and really kind of show, you know, really, I mean, there's without doubt, you know, there's this tight integration between WAP and SMA and a really great story there. And when using, you know, the Windows Azure pack, you know, without doubt, SMA is the automation tool or the first class citizen there in terms of automation. So the demonstration I'm about to do is I'm going to log into the Windows Azure pack as a tenant and create a virtual machine. When that VM is created, a runbook will execute. It'll wait. The runbook actually goes into a loop, waiting for that VM to fully deploy. I don't want to start performing post-deployment type configurations on a VM while it's in the state of deploying. It would fail. So I'm in a loop, waiting for that virtual machine to deploy. Once the virtual machine has been completely deployed, I want to rename the computer. When Windows Azure Pack deploys a VM, it gives it a random name. And in this case, I want the computer name of my VM to match the VM name that I've given the VM. I want them to match, unless the VM name is already in use, and then I want to increment the computer name with like a one or some additional characters. So I want to rename my VM so that when I'm done, the computer name of the VM matches the VM name that I would see in the Windows Azure pack or Virtual Machine Manager. So first thing I'm going to do is once the VM's been created, I'm going to rename it. I then want to add it to a security group within Active Directory, and then move the VM to a specific OU. So let's take a look at that. So I'm going to flip over to a different environment. And actually, before doing so, so this is the Windows WAP Administrators Console. We can see here under VM Clouds and Automation that I have this action of creating a virtual machine tied to a runbook named A101 VM Post Parent. So I've got a series of runbooks, and this is the parent runbook within that series. And it's going to be executed every time a virtual machine is created. I am now going to flip over to the tenant console. So what we're looking at now is the Windows Azure Pack tenant portal. So this is the tenant experience within the Windows Azure Pack. So if I'm a consumer of WAP, this is the portal that I'll be working in. And you can see it doesn't have quite as much going on within it. Based on the subscription that I've given this particular tenant. As the tenant, I'm going to click on Virtual Machines, click New, Standalone Virtual Machine, Quick Create, and I'm going to give it a name of TechEd003. You can see I've got a couple already here, 001 and 002. Select my template that I want to deploy this VM with and give it a password. And create VM instance. All right, so we can see that this is now being created. So as the tenant, I've just deployed a new VM into the cloud that I have access to as this tenant. Kind of behind the scenes, if we want to take a look at it, here's Virtual Machine Manager. And we can see that VM is being created, and here's the Hyper-V host. And there it is right there. It's still in an auth state. So this VM is now being created. So I've kind of done a sleight of hand here, though, because we don't have time for that VM to finish creating. It's going to take 10 or 15 minutes here. So if I go look at the runbook that's going to execute, and this again is the parent runbook that will execute when that VM is being created. A lot of the stuff we've already seen, I've got some parameters, I've got a little bit going on up here, and what's happening is this is now going into a loop. So I've got a loop defined here, and while that machine is in a state that's not complete, or until that machine is complete, I'm looping, this runbook is performing a loop, just writing some progress output. Well, notice what I did here is I then went ahead and put in a suspend workflow. Have you ever like watched the Food Network and they put a cake in the oven and then they take a cake out? That's what I just did. So I've got some VMs already baked. I'm using the suspend workflow function. So the VM has been created, but none of the post configuration actions have triggered because that job particular to those VMs is in a suspended state right now. I wouldn't actually put this in here in production. You know, we would want that VM to create. We would want the post configuration actions to happen. But to facilitate this demo, that's what I did. So if I go back to automation, and before digging into that, once that deployment has been completed, in this case, I need to resume the workflow. If we omitted suspend workflow, it would just move on. The next thing that happens is a child runbook is called to rename the computer. I won't look at the details of this runbook, but it also does stuff such as investigate Active Directory to make sure the name is not in use, increment the name, do some kind of data manipulation on that name if we need to. I then get the distinguished name of the Active Directory object, add the computer to a security group, and then move the computer to a particular OU. So very similar stuff that I was doing with the user, just with a computer object in this case. So if I go back out to my automation dashboard, we can see that I have an instance of that runbook running, but I also have an instance of that runbook suspended. So if I click into this job, this is just standard data that comes out of the creation of a VM, but we can see that the VM deployment started, it wrote progress data to the output stream, and then went into a paused state, and we can see that because I've got this little resume button right here. I'm going to go ahead and resume this. Let me make sure I have the right one. So this is for the VM that was created with a VM name of TechEd001. I'm going to resume this runbook, and it should pick up and trigger those child runbooks performing the post VM deployment configuration. I'll click yes and view job. So we can see that it's resuming. While it does that, I just wanted to show it what's going on in the background. So I have this VM right here, TechEd001. Notice here, however, that the computer name given to that computer is H4TY in some random text. So WAP gave this machine a random computer name. I just want that computer name to match the VM name. You know, additionally, if I look into Active Directory, there's the computer object right at my computer's OU. I want it to be somewhere else. It's already starting. So now if I refresh this, the machine's gone. If I go to WAP created servers, refresh this, there's the machine and it's been renamed to match the name given to the VM. I double click on that, we can see that it's been added to a security group. If I go back to my Hyper-V host, you can see after the rename, I wanted to reboot the machine. So you can see my VMs being rebooted at this point. It's back up. And we can see, even from this view, we can see that the name has been updated to match the name given to the VM. And this was just simple examples. We can go further and do things like install agents. You know, if we wanted to make sure the operations manager agent, SCCM agent, antivirus up to date, perform some updating of the machine. You know, this is just the tip of the iceberg in terms of automation. You know, the simplest examples I could get by with in 75 minutes. So that's the end of my demonstrations. I just wanted to show one more slide. So I do have, again, if you grab the PowerPoint deck, I mean, there's a ton more information out there. Orchestrator Product Group is blogging about this product all the time, and they're great blogs. I've put some in there. There's a couple things that I would have liked to have touched on more, such as the input-output data streams, a little bit around performance and service management automation. Just didn't have the time within the constraints of this session. So definitely go out, find their blog, dig into this a little bit more. Some related content coming up. I put in a bunch here about the Windows Azure Pack. You know, we only kind of glanced at the capabilities there in terms of its integration with service management automation. As well, immediately after this session, I'll be downstairs at kind of that middle array of tables. You can find me there. I'll be there for a couple hours. You know, please come on by and talk automation with me. And then I'll be there tomorrow from 3 to 6, and then ask the experts this evening. And then more information, resources, please fill out your evaluation. And thanks for coming to my session. And as a matter of fact, we've got a couple minutes, so if somebody would like to step up to a microphone and ask a question, feel free to do so. Or meet me downstairs and we can do it in front of a computer and dig in deeper.